children deserve the chance. Let's make a difference as one.
Born and raised on these Portland blocks, I was always unorthodox. Never quite fit into the system. Tried to communicate, no one listened. Struggled at math, struggled at science. Started skipping class, labeled as defiant. I watched stars on my TV. I got talent, why not me? There was a place where education and art meet. Finger on the pulse, I followed the heartbeat. I found a place where the B-boys go. DJs, MCs are allowed to grow. Get a high school diploma using our gifts. Finally acknowledge that I exist. Never had a future, never made plans. Found my purpose, now I have a chance.
We are the music, the culture. We are the dance. Join us together.
Imagine a high school where art, music, and culture are natural components of education rather than standalone subjects, where community is unified through celebration of arts and artistic expression. A school where parents and students openly communicate with teachers because every voice is valued. Imagine teenage sons and daughters coming home from school filled with pride and self-confidence, showcasing their day's accomplishments and looking forward to the next day. Imagine their excitement when working in an internship led by an artist or business person they admire. Imagine talking about life after graduation as a conversation with limitless possibilities. Imagine a high school where all students have a personalized learning plan so that the uniqueness of their learning styles is guided into projects designed for their growth and success. Imagine a school where kinesthetic learning allows students to move freely in body, mind, and spirit. A school that meets students where they currently stand and helps lead them towards discovering their fullest potential to become creative and competent in meeting the demands of adult life. The High School for Recording Arts Portland will be that school. That is the mission statement for the High School of Recording Arts Portland. This past Saturday, April 3rd, their development team hosted open hours and a community celebration at the Salmon Street Studios. Tonight on Circle A Radio, we'll bring you audio from the celebration, an interview with Erica Jayasuriya, the project director for the High School for Recording Arts Portland, as well as more information about the high school's formation and impending opening. Stay tuned.
Our children deserve the chance. Let's make a difference as one.
See, I go by Ryan B. Hip-hop is just the way I express myself. Music in general, it's a great thing to be a part of. It's a great outlet for the youth for today. And do it. Express yourself through music.
I go by the name of Young Mel. I've been doing this music thing for about 6 years almost. And I'm only a junior in high school, so I'm just doing what I can, trying to express myself the best I can. And everybody over here on the West Coast, the Portland area, we have talent. We can do it.
My name is Kylia. I'm a junior in high school, and music to me is a way to express myself. It keeps me out of trouble and allows me to share who I am and where I come from with my peers and the people around me.
We'll begin tonight's program with an interview with Erica Jayasuriya, the project director for High School for Recording Arts Portland. This interview was conducted by Zoe Loringer of the KABU Youth Collective on June 4th, 2009.
And up next, we have a live interview by Zoe Loringer with Erica from the High School for Recording Arts Portland.
Hi, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure, my name is Erica Jayasuriya, and I'm the project director for High School for Recording Arts Portland.
So you're trying to start a new charter school in Portland. Could you tell our listeners more about it, please?
Well, a charter school is a free public school that the federal government gives money to groups, whether they're educators or parents, that are interested in providing an alternative education that's different. So we would just have between 160 and 250 students with a very specific theme that is a free alternative to what is already being offered in the public schools here.
So what would students learn in this school?
Well, this school is called High School for Recording Arts Portland, and it actually is based on a model of an existing school that's in Minneapolis first, and then they have a school in Los Angeles, and they're developing one in New York. And the idea of the school is that it's built around state-of-the-art recording studios so that students who are creative and artistic and musical and like to dance or do filmmaking can come and get all of their high school credits for their regular public Oregon diploma, but also have exposure to all the elements of the recording industry through being able to participate in running a student-run record label that is then connected with these other student-run record labels around the country.
So who could attend the school?
Well, this would be a high school, so it would be anybody who is ready for 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th grade, but the model is specifically been used for students who have dropped out of school. And I don't know if you know, Zoe, that in Portland, right now, only 34% of our African-American youth are graduating from high school. So that's a pretty big dropout rate, and the Hispanic youth as well. So this model, while it's open to everyone as a free school, has been really successful for people who've dropped out because the school wasn't really working for them. And then because they love music and they love art and they like to be maybe able to move more freely about the day and the school environment and be more in control of their own learning. Everybody has their own personal plan. Then we can take students all the way up to 21. So if someone dropped out, maybe in 9th or 10th grade, they could come back and they could get their credits.
I heard that you were documenting your process on starting this school. What kind of recording media are you using to do this?
Great question. So it's been really important to us in everything that we've been doing to invite youth to get who are interested in recording arts to get involved with the school. We don't want it to be a school where a bunch of adults make the school and then open the doors, but we really are saying that any youth who want to join in the process, we have a year to do that. So we currently have a student who we've sponsored. She's taking a course for the summer at Northwest Documentary. And so she's filming our process and getting that ready for us. We're hoping to be able to do more with the youth collective to really follow the story, because it's a very fascinating story, because there's politics, there's intrigue, there's lots of different characters, especially because the school is bringing in so many incredible musicians and artists who often aren't asked to come to the table in school development. So there's a lot of wonderful people coming in, and we're trying to document that through the recording arts as much as we can. We have a MySpace. We'll be getting a podcast going soon.
So why is it important to provide this alternative learning environment?
Well, I think the main thing that we're seeing about this school and what makes it work is that a lot of students right now, you know, with schools feeling very crowded and a lot of pressure about testing, that a lot of young people are not feeling that they are actually being seen and heard in school. And I don't know about you, Zoe, but I know that a lot of the young people that I talk to, it's pretty hard to get excited and motivated for a teacher when you don't feel that they really even enjoy who you are as a human being, you know? And so part, big piece of this alternative opportunity is to create a small enough learning environment with a focused theme so that students who really need that extra, well, I don't even want to say extra, because I think all students really need an opportunity to have a good relationship with community members and mentors and teachers as guides, as a way, especially in high school before becoming adults, to really know that you've been given a tool bag to prepare for adulthood.
Can you tell us one more time those MySpace pages?
Yes, absolutely. So the MySpace is www.myspace.com/HSRAPDX. And the website is www.hsrap.org. So the nickname that we have is, it's HSRAP. Some people are calling us High School of Rap.
Okay. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'm just going to add that we also have a phone number. That's 971-678-5344.
Well, it sounds really cool, and I really hope that I'll be able to do that next year. Thank you for presenting that to us.
Thanks to Zoe Loringer of the KABU Youth Collective. Next up, we have Erica Jaya Surya with part of her introductory speech from the April 3rd, 2010 event at Salmon Street Studios.
They're turning to story to try to make sense. And what they need is an environment where they're allowed to tell their story. They're taught how to create their story. They're exposed to all the different mediums that allow them to feel comfortable putting their story out there and to understand that when they speak, the adults that are around them aren't going to belittle them, aren't going to dismiss them, aren't going to judge them, but in fact are just going to meet them where they are. And by meeting them where they are, that's how they grow, and that's how they change, and that's how they become agents of change. That's the impetus behind the school. When I met Nindo and we first talked, I was on a quest. I was looking for, where is the community that's going to help my son do this? You know, it's not here at any of our high schools. We don't have an artistic-oriented performing arts high school anymore. And even what we do, it's elective-based, it's not integrated, and it's not really multicultural. So where is it? How do we find this? And as I met Nindo, he said to me, you know, I'll paraphrase it, but he said, you know, the way I was raised, because everyone is a musician, or a dancer, or a storyteller, or a healer, that at this point, at this age, they would have a few hours a day of academics, and then they would go to their uncles, and they would be in their uncles' homes, and their uncles would teach them what they need to learn, how to be a master in what they do. Because it's not good enough to just be able to do it, but it's also, and this is again what Nindo shared with me, how do you do it so that you're always, you're staying artistic, you're an artist, but that you can survive as an artist. And what that means in an African community is one thing. Nindo was given a special skill to be able to take his artistry, but to go anywhere in the world and be able to survive, because he's also a master drum maker and understands deeply what it means, and as a teacher was trained to be able to convey his art in a way that allows him to teach. So as I spoke with lots of artists that I know, and I know some who are incredibly successful, and I know some who should be incredibly successful, a lot who should be, and the common place for those who have not made it is that we as an adult society didn't train our artists as to how to make it be what they can be able to do to provide for themselves, for their family, for their community. So the foundation of our coming together around the school is, what would it look like in Portland? This is really where it all began, was going to so many different artists and musicians and creative thinkers and teachers and saying, what would it look like to have a school where we met students where they are, where we took them into the past so that they understand the context of where they come from, the musical, historical, cultural context of where they come from, so that they can move everything forward, especially in a media arts way, out of real knowledge, and that they're given strong business skills so that if they're a photographer, they don't have to stop doing that when they become a father. And if they're an artist, musician, they don't have to stop doing that when they become a mother, but that they can stay true to who they are and what they are, and be able to be providers. And in order to do that, you have to know the business. In this country, if you don't know the business side of what it means to be an artist, you're not going to make it as an artist. We were blessed to have so much community support to make this idea and this vision come forward. I was told I had to be a spark, and then I had to find my kindling. And that if I was willing to step forward and be the spark, and I had enough kindling around to make the fire, that we would blaze so bright, because we would be a source of warmth for our adult community and for our youth community. And that coming around the fire, that is about heart force. That's about life force. That's about coming together for music and beat and sharing, is what was going to make this school flare up. What we've seen in 1 year's cycle, really, I mean, a year ago right now, we didn't even know if we were going to get the planning grant. So in 1 year's revolution, of which there will be many, many years of revolution, but in 1 year's revolution, we went from an idea to a few people to hundreds of people knowing what we're doing, being excited about what we're doing, and most importantly, there's an excitement in our youth community that finally, at last, there's going to be a place for them where they can really thrive and where the adults around them are going to be respectful and aren't going to stand in front of them and say, everyone in this class is failing, which means you're all failures, which is the dominant system that we have right now. Not everyone in this class is failing, so maybe I'm doing something wrong. We have young people who've been messaged that it's on them. If they can't keep up, if they can't do it, it's a failure on them. And then they give up. And it's this community, if there's any community that has been ready to step forward, the artistic community that can relate to what it feels like to be in a classroom where you are told, if you are questioning me, you need to go to you're going to detention. You have a question, you're being suspended. If anybody understands what that is, it's the artists and culture bearers that I have met in this city and beyond. And they're ready to take up the task. We're ready to take up the task. It's been a phenomenal year of evolution, but it is truly, truly still in the state of Genesis. We have gone from total cosmic formlessness to a seed is planted. In the African mythology, the world is created when a rooster takes a golden chain from the cosmic void, imbibes it, and then spits it back out as sand. And that sand grows and forms, and the world and the earth is created. We're just still at the place where we can say we have some creation, but the people and the plants and the animals, day and night, all of these things are yet to come. But it's working, because we're all coming back to the pulse. We're all coming back to the beat.
You are listening to a speech by Erica Jayasurai from the High School for Recording Arts Portland on Circle A Radio.
When I say that we're working with music to bring that back into education, to have this developmental approach, that at the very, very heart, what we know is that young people who are in high school are actually having an opportunity that never really happens again to grow in their brain capacity in a way that mimics prenatal through the 3-year-old development, which is all about opening the senses. It's all about preparing the mind to be imaginative. And what we know neurologically is that those people who take advantage, who are in an environment where that part of the brain gets this second growth spurt, are the ones who become the artistic and philosophical and scientific people that we consider to be geniuses. And if you look at the world population, that's a small percentage compared to how many people are just getting by. So this is designed around maximizing what we know neurologically now. And that at the root of what we're talking about is we begin with beat. From beat, we are compelled to move. And then when we're born, then our eyes open to the world around us. And even that is a slow process, 6 weeks before we can really even see, where am I? Then we surround that young being with lullaby, story, sound, movement, and only later do we then try to speak ourselves and really articulate, who am I? So our curriculum is oriented around going back through a journey, a developmental journey, into awakening these senses again, so that as we go forward into the phase of life that follows this, which is use it or lose it in the brain, we have maximized through the incredible opportunity with the arts, and these arts in particular, which is so clearly about beat and rhythm and story, and dance and visual, as you see, to really give our students in a way that they can take it and not, we're just going to go to the art museum, but this is what it is, to be able to give that to them. And we're so lucky and we're so blessed because the community here in Portland is ready to wipe the grunge away and embrace a new movement that's coming forward through the musicians that are often overlooked here in our city. And as HS Rap develops, that voice is going to be stronger and stronger. And then in our partnership with HSRA Minnesota, which has been, you know, we have this apprenticeship program, which is about how do you, as an artist, humble yourself to someone who has mastery. We have a wonderful opportunity here to have partnered with a school that has been very successful in what they're doing, in working with youth that everyone else has literally tossed away. And they've engaged them through the arts, through their desire to tell their stories and push it. We can learn so much from them. And by having that relationship, we completely model for our students how we walk the talk, that we have to humble ourselves to and be willing to be an apprentice to somebody else and put ourselves sometimes in the position of sleeping on the mat. You know, we have a lot of people, a lot of artists who've come up full of ego, and then they're not able to succeed where they need to succeed. And by surrounding our young people with incredible artists under a platform of how to be an apprentice, how to truly go back and understand the Renaissance, because what we're seeing right now, historically, in our times, is the precipice really of our Renaissance. We've just kind of come through the Middle Ages, the scourge of Black Death and plague, and it's been really rough. But what comes next is Renaissance. Our kids, the ones who are attracted to High School for Recording Arts Portland, they're ready to bring it. So ultimately, it's a story that's in the beginning. There's a new beginning today. There's a new beginning tomorrow. And there'll be a new beginning next year when we open. That's really the most amorphous story in the time that we have to tell you.
That was Erica Jayasurai. Next up, we'll have some short interviews with people who attended the High School for Recording Arts Portland community celebration at the Salmon Street Studios on April 3rd.
My name's David Walker. And I just wanted to find out a little bit more about what this high school program was all about and see if at some point maybe I could get involved and help out in some capacity.
How did you hear about it?
A friend of mine introduced me to Erica, who is one of the gurus of this. But I'd actually heard about it maybe 7 or 8 months ago through some other people that were sort of in the planning stages.
And what do you think so far from what you've
seen? I think that there's a lot of great opportunity, and I hope that young people will take advantage of it. I wish there was something like this when I was in school, other than what I had, which was not much of anything. I'm graduate of Portland Public Schools. The fact that I can actually read and write sometimes I think is a miracle. And then when I look at some of the people I graduated with, and I realize that, yeah, I got away pretty lucky. I mean, I think there's a lot of problems with just Portland Public Schools in general, I think education in this city is facing an uphill battle. And so I just hope that the city as a whole, even people without kids, can begin to look at the different alternatives and better ways to educate our young people. Otherwise, they're not going to be around to take care of us when we get older and all that sort of stuff. So that's the most important thing.
I'm Daniel.
And why did you come here today, Daniel?
I came here to listen to the music and see the presentation.
Are you interested in going to the high school of rap?
Yeah. I like play music, and I want to be a pianist when I grow up.
My name is Carlos. I would love to be involved in high school. I see the effect that hip-hop music and the skills that you learn in making music, you know, the creation of music, is definitely something that kids benefit from. There's so many different life skills and, you know, academic skills, too, all wrapped up in that.
My name is Khalil Jayasurya. I'm a musician, I'm a drummer, I'm a DJ, I'm a songwriter and a dancer. So, and the normal school system doesn't really, I don't like it that much, so this is going to be an opportunity to do the things that I like to do in school. And my mom is the creator of the High School for Recording Arts, Portland. Most of my friends want to go to it, and a lot of people around Portland seem to be interested, so.
Is there anything else you want to share with people who are listening about the High School of Recording Arts, Portland?
I just think all the kids should check it out because it's a rare opportunity to get in the school, so you won't get to see it much anywhere else.
My name is Genevieve Fisher, and I was excited about hearing about the first hip-hop school opening in Portland. I'm from Vancouver, Washington. I always wanted to go to the arts high school, but I ended up just going to, like, traditional public high school.
Do you have any involvement with it yet? Or
I think I want to start volunteering. Like, I'd like to be active and, I don't know, a mentoring role, getting involved in their sports and dance teams if possible. But we'll see. Everything's happening really fast. It's pretty amazing, though, the way that they got it started, funded, and actualized in 3 years. Just to be involved and help the youth, like she said, it's cool that they're focusing on the 9th through 12th, so you can really see, like, that development.
Anything in particular that really stuck out for you today?
I don't know. I just think it was all really inspiring. I like what she said about just focusing on myth and the story and teaching kids, like, how to all breaks down, like everybody's not gonna make it to the top of the pyramid, but if you like follow the steps that you can still make it, you know, it's still a viable option, but you still have to put work in.
I'm Alex Banks, and I'm here to support Khalil's mom, Miss Erica, for her High School of Recording Arts Portland project. I don't think I'm going to this school, but I'll help support it.
What kind of stuff are you interested in yourself?
Video game designing and writing, drawing.
My name is Dominique Bailey, and I came out to support Erica Jayasurya because I knew her for 2 years now, and, you know, she's a real nice lady. I think it's a good project to, you know, help motivate the kids and stuff and to push them even farther.
Where do you go to school?
I go to Jefferson. I'm going there my sophomore year.
So you're waiting for it to open up?
Yeah.
Excellent. Where do you go to school at?
Jefferson, the 8th grade program at Jefferson. It's fun, and since we have a small class, it's easier for the teacher to get around and teach us what he needs to teach.
Shout out to the Bear Rock Boys and the Cave Kids.
My name is Dolly England, and I'm here because my husband is the bass player in Triple Grunt, which is one of the bands that is playing today. I think that it's awesome that they're doing this benefit for this school. It seems like a really great idea for Portland, and my husband's actually a teacher, so this would be a really awesome environment for him to shine as well. So I hope that lots of people get opportunities to check it out. I hope that there's more free shows like this because it's really cool.
Did you go to school here in Portland?
Actually, I grew up in Vancouver, and I actually went to the Vancouver School of Arts and Academics, which is the performing arts magnet in Clark County, and now I work for public health, so I can easily say that having this background allowed me to think outside the box, and I think that I really support charter schools in that way.
You are listening to Circle A Radio. Tonight we are focusing on the High School for Recording Arts, Portland, a project-based charter school designed to meet state standards and the changing needs of our city and our society by inspiring students to approach all aspects of life with creative thinking and problem solving. We continue with audio from the April 3rd event. This is part of the presentation that Erica Jayasurai made about the curriculum for the high school.
We start with how is sound transmitted between people, which also, after looking at the iPod, really allows us to go into physics and acoustics. What is a sound wave? How is sound transmitted? And then to be able to look at how do you make an acoustic space? We're a school. Are we in a good acoustic space? Are we in a not so good acoustic space? Do you notice, you know, it's really hard for me right now to spend $40 on a ticket to go see a show that I want to see at the Roseland, because I know I'm not going to hear it very well. So we don't have very good examples in our city of good acoustic space for performance. So maybe our students are going to be the ones who are going to design that. Then we look at how is sound transmitted between people, as in, what is the anatomy of the ear? What is the anatomy of the mouth and the larynx? Because if you're really going to be a master in recording arts, in performance, this is your instrument, this is your vessel. So to be able to look at it through that lens as well. And then to really then at that point be able to start looking at the history in a societal, cultural way of how is sound transmitted? How is it that we have kept the sound of the drum that has gone from Africa to Brazil, to the Caribbean, to New Orleans, up, you know, historically as we moved into Detroit and Chicago and the East Coast and out west, and be able in an environment that is really about musical regionalism to actually help take the students through a historical track that really emphasizes the contributions of the peoples who have changed the world, truly changed the world through music and art, and yet are often the ones that are not talked about at all in school, except maybe in Black History Month or like Latino Heritage Day. We have as a theme diaspora study. Right now the Tibetans are in a state of diaspora. There's many peoples who are, diaspora is that quality of having to leave your homeland and retain your cultural heritage. So we use that because under the umbrella of hip-hop in particular, what you really are seeing is this merging and this melding of beat and rhythm and story and history of a diasporic people, and that with the world now becoming so small, we're able then to share our cultures and our strengths and literally share our beats with someone who lives halfway around the world. It used to be I'd beat my drum so that the village far away hears me. And now I can get online, I can webcam Tony and say, "Hey Tony, you're in Minnesota and I'm right here. Here's my beat." So totally, totally new ways of thinking and working. And this is a framework to really start to get the students to be guided in the beginning on how to even begin to start opening your mind. Because the truth is that right now, for our students who are coming in, they haven't been given much of this opportunity. So a big piece for us is to give them a little bit more direction in the first 2 years, direct instruction, so that they have the skill set that is ready then that they can jump off on. But at the same time, if they're ready, they can do independent projects and start working that way. So the next, after we get them into how is sound transmitted, then we do how do people respond to sound. Now we're going to be teaching through dance. And again, just as I explained to you in the first way about all of the different subject matter, similarly you can do that through dance and also through the activity of turntablism. So we can look at how does sound make us move physically? How does it make us move emotionally? How is the sound of somebody saying something to us suddenly thrill us into wanting to become part of a movement? So, you know, the whole social revolution, propaganda, all of these things are about how do we respond to the sound. So that's the whole first year. The second year is focused on observing the world around us. And what that is really the visual arts and the art and craft of storytelling. We can, again, if you think about visual arts, what we can look at is that every place in the world has an artistic culture. And often, we can study mineralogy, geology, flora, fauna, through the artistic medium of an area. So, for instance, when I lived in Peru, a very common art form was to carve on gourds. In the Caribbean, you see a lot of really bright color in their paintings because the mineralogy lends itself to that kind of pigment. Whereas in Africa, you see a lot of browns and blacks because the mineralogy lends itself to that kind of pigment. So we can play around with mineral composition as well as musical composition. For me, because I come to all of this through the realm of story, I'll just back up as I just lead you to the next step of the programming, which is that my undergraduate work was as an expressive art therapist. That was my training, was in expressive art therapy. And my focus was on storytelling and the work of Carl Jung and the realm of the mythic, unconscious, the world of story. And I had this phenomenal teacher who had us do an activity once a week where we had to look at the front page of the New York Times and analyze what the front page stories were in relationship to mythic folk tales and mythic stories. Because what she said is, your story doesn't get to be a front page story unless you're tapping into this deep place of story. There I was 23, and she said one of those things that, you know, has stuck. I heard it and I went, that's changing my whole perspective. And what she said is, she said, if you look at every movie that's become a blockbuster, the person behind that movie has studied myth and story. There is no blockbuster that is not built on a deep inherent understanding of the role of myth and story. She said, if you ever know anyone that wants to make it in the media industry, make sure that they understand myth and story, because that's the key. So that is in our second year, in our foundation year, we're really looking at what does it mean to understand story, to be able to understand an African story, a Caribbean story, a Chinese story, a Greek myth, but to be able to see it all as the role of the storyteller. The reason that we do that in the second year is because as we move into what we call the apprenticeship program, which is the student-run entertainment company, we're now taking these artistic realms that we are working with in the first 2 years, and we're flipping it to, well, if you're into visual arts, then this is graphic design. If you're into working with sound and beat, now this is engineering, right? This is legal and copyright. This is public relations. But all of it is storytelling. You know, and what I like to say, and especially to kids, is I had the benefit of having a father who, when I became an adolescent, I had to write a grant anytime I wanted money from my family over $100. The grant always required the same things. What I wanted to do and what did I need the money for, how it was going to benefit me now and in the future. How is doing this today going to benefit me long term, and how is it going to help others? Right? So that was persuasive writing, right? What my father also told me was this, is because he was the only neurologist, so brain specialist, in the entire Southern California region from San Francisco down that accepted Medi-Cal in the 70s and 80s. So he worked mostly in Long Beach, Inglewood, Compton, with families who really couldn't afford high quality care and that he was giving. His experience working in those communities, he would come home, you know, and talk to me about it. And one day he said to me, he said, Erica, here's the situation. Everybody that makes it in this country is a hustler. The problem is that some people are educated enough about the system to learn how to hustle the system, in the system. But a lot of people are never given enough information about how the system works so that they can't hustle in the system. And they end up hustling outside the system, and they end up maybe having some money in their pocket for a little while, but it's really hard to sustain. And then he said to me, you know, the key to change, the key to the part where it's about not how does this benefit me, but how does it benefit others by my doing that, is the best hustlers that this, you know, and this is back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and he said, what this country needs are the high-level hustlers, people who know how to work, who are in the system, but not of the system. And if there's anything that I'm trying to model in bringing a charter school that really, you know, came forward and said, we're a hip-hop high school, is this is a hustle. And what we want to see our kids be able to do is learn how to hustle, literally, but really understand, be ready to go into the adult world with the skill set of artistry, but then to know how to flip it so that they understand the business, so that when they become, when they're asked to become adults, that they really have a foundational skill set that gives them strength. And that they can then, especially in the media and entertainment industry, not just be consumers, but to actually start to make the change within this industry by being knowledgeable. And by being knowledgeable, not book smart, but really being exposed to true people, real people, and their life stories, their biographies. How did they come up with that idea? How did they make it work? How did they do it? And that's why we call it the apprenticeship program, because to be an apprentice really is to be willing to look at someone else's work and say, how do you do this? Please teach me. Please teach me how.
That was Erica Jayasurai. Also at the event was supporter Tony Simmons, the director of development from the High School for Recording Arts, Studio 4, in St. Paul, Minnesota. We will hear an interview with him after we listen to a song off the HSRA Student Compilation Volume 2. This song is called All My Life, performed by Dente, featuring Magic.
I've been hustling. Quiet at times, used to sit back and write rhymes. Thoughts on my mind kept me motivated, so I hustle. Enough dough to release my first album on my own throughout the struggle. Close homies always kept it thorough and had my back, even when haters was talking bad about your boy. In fact, I put a hater in their place quick, but minus the fake, I mostly had the realest banging my hits and kept an ear open to the streets. I remember when this label thought we was beefing, but they would see us time and time again. That goes to show you how much love is strong on point, like jump shot, last seconds on the clock, wondering how much time I got if this music don't happen, cause I done spent my last dollars on this package. Now I'm pop without no dollars and cents, move out the crib cause mama said pay rent. Conscious telling me quit, but it ain't making sense. For driving and being black, didn't help none. Still hitting them alleys with no license. Watching my clique go through things, which made me come up with something. Cause most of our lives we roll with gangs. Still searching, hunting, and working to find a place in life. Through all the trifle mistakes, only can make me or break me is what my dog used to say to me. Somebody please pray for me, I'm finna take that chance to show the world who I am. Stand as a righteous man, can't depend on Uncle Sam. He ain't giving me no job, can't depend on my own fam. Since we done fell apart, my family tree, lately it ain't been tight. Going through things to keep sight, still maintaining, surviving the fight. But I'm praying to God that that he can help me through this. So I kept my head up to the sky, got my blessings through this music, and I kicked it on the daily, still forgetting the shade until I told them all to pay me, cause they see I ain't been lazy lately. To the story, you better go out and get it, cause if you sit back and watch it, you might as well keep sitting. Listen to your elders, but don't believe everything they tell you. Keep your eye on your shelter, homie, watch what they sell you. Every day we see hell, but it's the knowledge for your soul to keep your open eyes closed, like you living through the scope of a wise man with plans and dreams of making it possible to succeed with the mission. We might get hostile for the dough, cause you know how the streets take a toll. You might not get what you brought, but for sure, pay for what you just stole. With life between earth, choose through heaven or hell. Education to keep you well. Why does hating help you prevail through negative thoughts? Are we talking bad about another guy versus God? How we gon' act like we ain't brothers? Your mother might not be my mother, but she still cared. When I was sick as a baby, she took me under my covers and said,
don't worry, everything will be alright. The world is yours, no matter about the hard times. Just realize that you gotta stay strong. Hold on, because it won't be long. Don't worry, everything will be alright. The world is yours, no matter about the hard times. Just realize stay strong.
Tony Simmons, I'm Director of Development at High School for Recording Arts, Studio 4 in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Do you want to just remind our listeners what your high school is all about?
Sure. Our high school is based around the recording industry. We take young people, many of whom have an interest, a passion for the music business. Also, they haven't done well in traditional schools for various reasons. Our school, because again, we're really centered around that industry and creativity, as well as preparing young people to engage those areas while also getting the credits they need for high school diploma and going on to college. They're really attracted to it.
So do you want to talk about why you're in Portland today?
Sure. Probably, maybe it's about a year. We received a call from Erica, and she said that she wanted to open a school in Portland, and she did a national search of models that she thought would really fit her vision, and she found us. From that very point, we started a conversation about collaborating and bringing what we do well in Minnesota to the Portland community. It's been a really interesting journey coming out to Portland and seeing how the community has engaged us, how they've asked some hard questions about, you know, what this program is all about, and meeting an incredible team that Erica has been able to put together, trying to figure out how do we make this, you know, a great collaboration, has led us to this point. With the charter application being approved and now in this planning phase, we're here to bring our strengths in terms of what we do. And basically, we believe that is run an incredible studio program that really engages people in an authentic way about real-world work opportunities in this industry, as well as being able to connect with the outside industry to bring their resources and experience into our program, so there is true authenticity with our program, and just really knowing how to run a charter school well, financially, organizationally, to achieve those aims. That's why we're here today, to support this open house and to plan a great school.
The high school in Minnesota has been going for over a decade, is that right?
Yes. We received our charter in 1998.
And can you tell us about some of the students now who have, what they've gone on to do?
Sure. It's incredible to see how many of our students have really blossomed, both within this industry, the recording industry, and sometimes not in this industry at all, but just in life and growing up to be great, productive workers and responsible citizens and lifelong learners. Industry-wise, we have probably more than we ever would imagine young people who are actually making a living in the recording industry. One young man is in New York City, and he's done one of the most popular mixtape CDs there with a number of hip-hop artists like Talib Kweli and Mos Def. His name is Beatnik. And I only found out about that. I'm from New York myself. Only found out about that reading the Minnesota Twin Cities local weekly paper, the largest. It's called City Pages. And they had an article about Beatnik and all the success he's having in New York City. There was no mention of the fact he went to high school for recording arts, which was fine. It was just about the fact that he's a working artist doing really, really well. And I called him right after that and just had a laugh about, you know, the fact that, you know, he's getting all this press in Minnesota. And I have a young lady in Atlanta who has her own full-blown recording studios, done a lot of work in the hip-hop industry down there. She just launched a YouTube series of her poetry with beats behind it. The list could go on and on of young people who are doing great things. Her name is Tanya Member. Another guy we call Young Menace, who's been doing work with MTV. Again, just really active in the community. So there's a lot of that. In addition to, we have one young man who actually became Phi Beta Kappa, summa cum laude graduate at University of Minnesota, and he's just wants to be a philosopher. So it spans the total realm of possibilities. Definitely a lot of great success stories.
Are there other cities that want to start their own high school of recording arts?
Sure, all the time. I think people really recognize the need for this, you know, that young people, too many are falling through the cracks and education systems aren't really meeting them where they're at. This program really resonates with a lot of young people, and I think adults who think about it deeply, intrinsically recognize that you do a program where young people can be passionate about what they're doing and you connect that to learning, you got a winning recipe there. So we've received calls from, we're actively working with groups in New York City, New Orleans, Detroit, and other places. We're connected with national reform school organizations that we're able to go to and have conversations around best practices and how we can, you know, support each other. So it's a dialogue that's going on. There are real opportunities there to take this in different parts of the country. But, you know, for us in Minnesota, having being the people who kind of created this idea, we're really only interested in working with local people who really want it and really want to put their own flavor into it. We're not carpetbaggers. We don't think we have everything to teach and you know, nothing to gain from those kind of relationships. In fact, it's just the opposite. This is what we've done, but obviously, like here in Portland, this is a great city, it's great people. How we mix this together is kind of like just hip-hop. It's like, you know, mixing the beats. Something different is going to come out of it in the end, but it's going to work well for here in this community, and it's going to sound good. So that's what we're really looking for. It's just really great relationships and collaborations and opportunities to see, you know, how can this idea really go to another level.
That was Tony Simmons. And again, this is Erica Jayasurai.
My friend Nindo said it earlier to me, or yesterday we were talking about this, and he said, you know, a generation can only say they've been successful when the next generation is substantially better than they are. When the next generation is better off. And I really feel in our partnership with the Minnesota School that the value system that's around what we're doing with this education and this curriculum is more than anything else around that. The first essential question before I got the planning grant was a completely different one. The first essential question for me was, what would a high school look like that actually prepared people to go into the adult world prepared to do what is the most important task that we are asked to do as adults? For me, that's being a parent. That's being prepared to be a parent and take on the responsibility of growing a whole other human life so that they will surpass all of our capacities. So all of this curriculum work is organized around preparing our young people to know themselves, to know how to do collaborative work we're creating a group. There's an importance about learning how to be an individual entrepreneur, but there's also a lot about learning how to be collaborative. So a lot of this work, a lot of what we have in the apprenticeship program around having these different divisions and departments is skill set, but it's also about learning how to be collaborative. For some of our students, they're going to be ready. They're going to show us their independence, and they're going to be ready for us to say, you know, for your PR credits, you're ready to go work at Wieden and Kennedy. But some of our students, they're not really ready for that. They need people that they trust. We've designed this so that those students who really aren't yet ready to have to interface in the Portland professional landscape have the opportunity to get those skills developed, and that those who really are will have abundant opportunities to connect with our local regional infrastructure of artists and commerce and business here.
You've been listening to Circle A Radio on KBOO. Thanks to all our guests on tonight's show. Special thanks to Cherie Blackfeather, who shared her recordings of Erica's presentations at the High School of Recording Arts Open House. Cherie was there talking to folks for her program, Vox Pop PDX, a talk radio adventure, which can be heard each Wednesday on the internet at radio23.org from 3 until 4 p.m. Thanks also to Zoe Loringer of the KBOO Youth Collective for sharing her interview from June about the High School of Recording Arts. Thanks, Zoe. For more information or to get involved with the High School of Recording Arts of Portland, a free public charter school opening in the fall of 2011, you can send an email to hsofrap@yahoo.com. Circle A Radio is broadcast the first and third Wednesdays of each month on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 in Portland, or streaming live at www.kboo.fm. You can also find an archive of previously aired programs on the KBOO website. Tune in April 21st from 6 until 7 to hear our next program. Thanks for listening.